you all for coming here today. I hope you enjoyed the conference. And today I'm going to talk about machine learning in Apache Zeppelin. And before we go there, I'll just say a few words about me. That's my third ApacheCon. So I really like this event, and I try to come every time as much as I can. I'm committer and PMC member of Apache Zeppelin, and I live in South Korea. So, and in this room, in the next few days, you're going to hear a lot of talks about machine learning. So, and the title of this one might be a bit misleading, because by itself, Zeppelin doesn't do any machine learning. So, what it does, though, it's something interesting. It started as internal. First of all, how many of you guys tried Apache Zeppelin or use it? Okay. I'll start with a very short overview. Basically, we'd like to think of Apache Zeppelin as a GUI for big data. It's web browser-based, notebook-style, interactive visualization tool, which is integrated nicely with many things in big data ecosystem, Apache in particular, and I'm going to showcase a few of those integrations now. As we all know, this big data started with just storing data, then analytics, and then predictive analytics, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I think Zeppelin so far is quite good at first few steps, like loading the data, processing the data, building intuition around the data set. But because all things machine learning become so important in that area, that's one of the directions we want to move project to, and hope it can do a better job serving last steps of this predictive analytics workflow. And I'll start with an overview of existing initiative inside the community related to machine learning. And I'll highlight integrations with the machine learning framework that we already have, and then discuss a few further steps that we want to take. So I'd like to highlight those nine systems as one of the most popular machine learning frameworks, I would say. There's definitely missing things here and there, but that's what I would like to focus on, and that's what we have integration with so far. I hope by the end of the talk, everybody got to know how to add more things there. So I'm going to show screenshots of actual notebooks. They're all going to be available online, and you can just import them and try them on your own system later. So we start with kind of by far most popular project, which is Apache Spark, and its machine learning framework. It consists, as many people know, it consists of two parts. Legacy part right now is MLlib, which is in maintenance mode since Spark 2.0. And I'm not going to go into details of MLlib and algorithms and implementations here. If you want to know more about that, like Jeremy going to talk about it today at 4:30, and he would be the great person to ask more questions on technical aspects of their implementations. But anyway, they've got two. One is one API is RDD-based and called MLlib, and another one is just SparkML, which is more high level. It's based on new data frame and data set API and has pipelines. It's kind of next generation where the Spark is going with their implementations. As far as Zeppelin is concerned, you can just take, this is a linear regression example from MLlib library. You can just take the code and use Spark interpreter, things would work as one would expect. Just running it in paragraphs and getting the results and maybe visualizing those results are pretty easy. But Spark is a common case, and many things work there. Let's look at other examples, like Flink is a very popular project these days as well. It has its own machine learning library. So I think it's a younger project, and their machine library is not that mature, although it has a lot of implementations of different algorithms, like collaborative filtering and all things you need to build interesting machine learning products. By the way, there's Martin somewhere here who's going to talk about it in more details. He would be a great person to talk in the technical aspects of how is that implemented in Flink. His talk is, I guess, tomorrow, maybe this room, but I'm not sure. The high level, their API of ML pipelines in Flink looks pretty simple, and I think they learned the lesson of scikit-learn and try to mimic their API of this fit and predict to make the whole pipeline high level and simple. So with this one, it's a bit more complicated. You cannot just take this code and paste it to Zeppelin Flink interpreter. It wouldn't work. Why? Because ML library is a separate jar file, and you're going to need to add this as runtime dependency to Zeppelin. And it's very simple. There is a GUI for that, and as a user or developer, you can just go list the interpreters, find the Flink one, edit it, and add either path to jar file or Maven identifier. It's going to be downloaded and distributed through cluster, and then your example would work. And here is, I think it's classification problem for advertisement, to which one of the Flink committers did to highlight this Flink. You can see Flink interpreter over there, and then there is PyFlink interpreter, and they can talk to each other, which is quite nice. And then, actually, you could pass those results to Spark interpreter as well and use another visualization. So those nice things that Zeppelin provide. Then another popular machine learning framework, and it's kind of older one, is Apache Mahout, which is another offspring of Lucene project, as Hadoop was. And it has tons of algorithms implemented. First, they focus on non-distributed. These days they get a lot of MapReduce and Spark implementations for algorithms. So there are tons of stuff there. And again, I'm not going to go into technical details of Mahout itself. There's going to be a Sunil talking about it. Oh, he's talking about Tuesday? Yeah, so tomorrow at the same time. He's one of the contributors in Apache Mahout, and he would be the right person to talk about details of this particular approach. So to use it inside Zeppelin, that's a little bit different approach. There is, as you can see here, there is Spark Mahout interpreter, and that's not something that is built in. Why is it a bit different? Because Mahout itself provides high-level API in Scala on top of Spark. And you can see it over here, like manipulation with those, I think it's distributed row matrix, DRM. That's their internal representation of the data. So using those strange characters is actually part of their DSL, which is an efficient way to write like kind of mathematical notation on top of Spark. But it wouldn't work like that if you just paste it, because Flink Mahout or Spark Mahout interpreters is not something that's built in. So Trevor is another contributor from Mahout project recently did this interesting stuff. It's actually automation to pre-configure existing interpreters for you. So instead of manually going here and clicking edit and adding those files and downloading them as you would do with the Flink example that I showed, this is just a script that does everything for you. You run it once on your Zeppelin installation and you got this nice interpreter, and you can use it to run Mahout machine learning scripts. So it's kind of different approach of integrating, and we want to explore it more for other systems. And extend that one because it's very pluggable and comes handy. So next thing is Apache SystemML, which is, like, I assumed it's a younger project, but actually it was started a while ago in IBM and then eventually donated to Apache. It's interesting because it's also custom DSL. It also looks like R. In a way, Mahout is doing something similar, but it has tons of implementation and algorithm implementations which are run on top of Spark, actually. And there's work in progress to integrate this one to Zeppelin. It's actually on both sides of community, as you can see. And again, in technical aspects of the system ML, there's going to be Luciano's talk today at 4:30 about declarative machine learning. That's what their focus is. Anyway, if you want to run any system ML on Spark, there are two approaches on Zeppelin. There are two approaches you can take. One is very basic, use Spark interpreter, this part over here, and take your system ML code, which is part over there, just as a string, and pass it to API, execute it. And it works, but it's not super nice because you lose things, like beautiful things that Zeppelin provides. It's just a blob of text. It's not interpreted, and it's a very naive approach, I would say. There is another one, which is work in progress, custom interpreter implementation. Over here, you can see that it's actually addition to the Spark interpreter group. This interpreter just takes the Spark ML, just a system ML domain-specific language, this R-like thing, and interpreter it. And that's much nicer, but it's kind of next level of integration because it's harder to make a custom interpreter rather than pre-configure existing one or just use plain existing one as we saw with Spark, for example. There's one more machine learning project. I've got so many of them. Apache Medlib. That's an interesting one. It's a bit different because it's in database. And it's quite mature, actually. It started in big company and EMC, I think, and then it was in universities, and then donated to Apache. And again, I'm not going to go into technical details. Roman will be talking about it, I think, right after me in this room. So if you want to know more about in-database machine learning, please talk to him. It's quite interesting because the machine learning pipeline you express here is like SQL language. We already saw custom DSL or just Scala things, but that's something that is very different from others. And the good thing is because it's just SQL, you can use existing JDBC interpreter, and it can run on multiple systems. This example, like I believe, is Postgres, and this is a basic linear regression. And I think there's a niche for that. It's a pretty interesting approach. So existing interpreter would just work with all visualization and nice things that Zeppelin provide. Another one I wanted to touch upon is scikit-learn. And scikit-learn is the machine learning library for Python. So it's kind of default, de facto standard. And it's been a while around. I think it started as kind of non-distributed implementation for many algorithms, but there are so many extensions these days, so there are ways to do almost anything with scikit-learn in machine learning area. And because it's just Python, again, Python interpreter would work. Here is an example of using this. And the good thing about scikit-learn, they got tons of tutorials. Basically, any aspect of machine learning you're interested in, it will be covered. Here's an example with Iris dataset, and we load it and just kind of build our intuition about the distribution of the data, and then nice things about Zeppelin that you can do custom visualizations, and you can embed, I think it's Plotly library over there for 3D graph. So works really nice. Another one that we want to talk about is Weka, I think. It's also been around for a while, and it's the machine learning in Java world. It's GPL-based compared to many others, so it has a lot of different implementations of different algorithms, and it started as, I believe, C and TCL, and then they migrated to Java quite early on. I would say 97, they make them early adopters, and they got tons of stuff, and they got books and articles, and that's like I think it's data mining community, but very interesting thing. But we don't have Java interpreter. How would we run Weka? But actually, we do have Beam, Apache Beam interpreter, which underneath is like, it's not very known, but it just compiles things in classes and execute them because of the way Beam works. So we can use Beam as a just generic Java interpreter, and here is just Java code that uses, I think it's k-means clustering or something like that, to classify simple data set. And yeah, you can do like basically interpret any Java code, in particular like the Vekka library. But it's I put it here, one of the reasons I put it here is because of this paper, which is really, really nice by Pedro Dominguez. And he also has a book. I'm not sure if you're into machine learning, and that's a really good source of folk wisdom. And you can use Zeppelin to run Vekka scripts, so it's nice. One more thing I wanted to cover is Apache Singa, which is a quite recent project. I think it started in 2014 by University of Singapore. I feel a bit bad that this project is not represented here, as far as I know. Anyway, I would really love to have somebody from that community here and kind of like working with other Apache projects and integrating with them. That would be really nice because the project looks great and pretty interesting. They focus on deep learning, and they're, in a way, it's kind of, I think they started before TensorFlow was implemented. What they do is kind of very similar. They have C++ core implementation. It's distributed and it uses ZeroMQ and MPI bindings. It's modern C++. They do memory management themselves. They have many architectures implemented, and they have Python bindings. So there is PySingle library. It sounds very familiar. So right now, they release 0.0 version, which is not distributed, but 0.3 was distributed, so they're going to refactor and migrate it. So it's pretty interesting project to keep an eye on. It also has Caffe integration, so you can use existing models and convert them and run them on Singa. And here is just PySingA example, which is, again, used just Python interpreter. And if you look at the code a bit, and you did something like TensorFlow before, that looks very similar, and it's quite low level, so you're going to be putting a lot of details about how your model architecture looks like, and how are you going to train, and backpropagate gradients, and stuff like that. But I think it's a really interesting one. And this is an example of character-level RNN, I think, for language modeling and generating some, I think, like city names or something based on examples. One thing about it, that current version is GPU-based. I think I highlighted that a bit. It's also OpenCL and CUDA. They have both implementation, which is nice. But many models are like GPU-based, so you can't really train them on CPU for, it's like implementation detail. So they really bet on like GPU training. So, well, that's a bit different from TensorFlow, which does a great job making sure it can train anywhere. And the last one, but not least, TensorFlow, which is very popular deep learning framework, and it has some linear models, and in a big data world, there are two main ways to run it. Either just use pure Python interpreter and API, or TensorFlow Frames library, which is, I guess, popular one, but which provides you ability to either deploy models and distribute on the cluster for using them, or train, but it distributes the hyperparameter tuning process. So we can train many models with different parameters and then pick the best one, which is nice. So in pure Python, the example would, I think this is an example of TFLearn library, which is more higher-level library on top of TensorFlow, which is very concise. And it's a similar example to one we saw before. It's also character-level RNN model for generating city names, or I know company names, or whatever, some names. And that looks much more readable to my taste. And it's quite high level. We don't have specific integrations with library like that yet, but that's one of the directions I want to talk about at the end. Another approach is to use Spark's PySpark and run it through TensorFlow's wrapper. But I didn't have time to actually show you an example like that. The good thing about it, if you want to try, come join us today. There's going to be a Hacking Zeppelin session where people can learn more about the project, start contributing to that, and we can build this example together if you're interested. There are a few people over there, I think Ayan and Sora, they will be doing this workshop, so if you want to talk to them and... Okay, so I think we've finished with this really long list of machine learning stuff. But there's definitely room for improvement. We can do integration much better than that. And this is the part where I would really love to hear feedback from you guys if you're doing something practical. What's missing? What should we build to be more machine learning friendly and integrated? I got a few ideas. So, for example, there is Prediction IO, which is Apache project right now. And it's the whole open source machine learning server. We can do much better job at integrating in their workflow of deployment models and testing them. And I think there is some discussion on Prediction IO mailing list. So I'm planning to file an issue and start talking about more details in that direction. And there's going to be Simon's talk on Wednesday about whole things, Prediction IO, so it's a good opportunity to learn more about that project if you're interested. So one more thing is Apache Samoa. I'm not sure I pronounced it right, but it's a younger project we started, I believe, here in Yahoo Labs Barcelona, and it's focused on streaming and machine learning. And there's going to be talk about it on Wednesday in the morning, if you want to know more. But that's something we don't really have integration with. And I would be really interested to have at least basic stuff running so you can launch those streaming examples that they have and run them on top of Storm or Apache Apex or other systems that they use. There's also a popular project, H2O and a sparkling water for deep learning, in deep learning area. We don't have many things specific to that one. You can run it just Spark interpreter, adding dependencies manually, as I showed with Flink example. But there is an issue and some discussion around that, so I believe tighter integration is possible, especially like with those things when you add dependencies and start with the empty page, first thing you do, you write a lot of imports, and it shouldn't be really like that, because if you're using this interpreter, we already most probably know what kind of imports you're going to need. So that's one thing I want to add for many of those interpreters, like default imports. It saves time typing, and well, it comes handy. There is an umbrella issue for machine learning ideas in Zeppelin. So this guy, if you... It has some details that are already there, but if you have anything to add, request, or I don't know, ask questions, that's a good place to start. Few things that are there is are model visualization. This year, Google Summer of Code Mentor Summit, I attended it for the first time, and I saw a guy from CERN highlighting his student work regarding very similar thing in Jupyter project, like model visualization. Basically, if we build a neural network architecture, we could most probably visualize it in some meaningful way. And that's something I would love to explore. Then, while you train a model, Zeppelin has built-in progress indicator. That would be nice to use it and be able to stop or pause it in case your model supports snapshotting. And one more is, of course, when you train, you want to monitor the convergence, whether it trains, like the loss function. So we have a lot of graph capabilities. Like we could just build simple graphs at the paragraph output and show them in real time how your loss actually behaves. I think that would be really nice. It would require some refactorings and support. It depends on the backend system you're going to train on, but that's something I would love to see explore. So to recap, we've been talking about a few things here. I tried to summarize the options with machine learning. You have, in case you want to try it with a Zeppelin or use it as a tool. So I think that's quite interesting. We've got some diversity here. For example, we can see that if you look at the distributed part, we can see that things that support Spark, which are not Spark, are not really catching up with the latest version. For example, Mahout and SystemML don't support Spark 2.0 yet, and if you want to try latest examples, you would not be able to do that with latest Spark version because they break API a lot, so that's interesting. On the neural network approach, if you're interested in that aspect, well, there are many things you can try, and SystemML and scikit-learn and Vika and Mahout and Spark all have more or less neural network implementations, although none of them are really focused on it like TensorFlow is or Singa. So, yeah, we've got some diversity in terms of languages as well, but you can clearly see that Python and Scala, and then experiments with R-like domain-specific languages that's what's going on. That's quite interesting. I guess Python and R are more like data science community, and Scala is more like data engineering community coming together and experimenting on machine learning stuff. That's very interesting, and I believe if I had more time, this list could be like twice longer, but I didn't have enough. So, a few takeaways on how things integrated with Zeppelin internally. So, simplest thing is to use existing interpreter, like Spark, and then add dependencies manually through GUI. That's the simplest you can do. You can go deeper, pre-configuring interpreters through some automation, and that's what Mahout Spark does. Or you can go even deeper and write custom implementation. And there's custom implementation of the interpreter, which is pretty simple. It's just four methods, then talking to backend system of your choice. That's levels of sophistication, I would say. And the last thing is that, well, we're looking into building more visualizations in that area, integrations regarding, you know, showing the data that is useful while you're doing machine learning stuff. With that, thank you very much. And in case you're interested, I just happen to know a few companies that hire people to work on that. So talk to me later if that's something you're looking for. And with that, I think we can have some questions and answers if we have time.
XGBoost, excellent and distributed, and has really some terrific algorithms.
True.
That's something I would add on top of it.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, it deserves to be there, and so many people at Kaggle recently use it, I think. It definitely has exposure.
In Kaggle, it's like third of it, or half of it is XGBoost.
Right. And I think there's a reason for that, because those boosting methods are actually, and ensemble methods in general, are very nice things, very practical things. And a lot of things here are more like experimental and research, like domain-specific languages for some metrics manipulation. But you're right, yeah, definitely should be there.
Yeah. Now more into questions. Zeppelin really looks excellent. We would love to use it. For now, we are more into Jupyter and Jupyter Hub, and Jupyter Hub because we can then spawn notebooks for many of our users, right? We don't want to have 20 users working exactly on the same server.
Right.
So my question is this. Do you think of doing anything like this for Zeppelin, like Zeppelin Hub?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So that's a very good question about, so if I rephrase it, like how do you get multi-tenant Zeppelin setup?
Yeah, exactly. Multi-tenancy on Zeppelin.
That's really big topic because recently we saw the trend of Zeppelin being adopted in enterprise, and that's what everybody needs. So we've been working on that and experimenting with that. There are at least two different approaches we experimented with And none of them ended up into Apache codebase yet. So we tried to build we tried to distribute that. I think it's kind of similar to JupyterHub, like a Docker cluster with reverse proxy and authorization in front of it. So each user will have a container spawn, and not on a single machine, but on a cluster of machines. And that work, I think I presented it on the last year, like exactly a year ago, on ApacheCon in Budapest. And few people were interested. We use it internally for our clients, but then, well, it was written in Go mostly, and it kind of didn't feed the whole Java ecosystem well, so it never ended up being widely used. Another approach we're experimenting is with virtual machines and simple implementations on top of EMR or Azure, stuff like that. So it's a little bit different because you don't host it, but that's something we're looking at right now more. There are other ways to get multi-tenancy. It basically depends whether you want to share things like Spark context between user and those questions. So there's a lot of work done on that in last year, but we're clearly not there yet. So right now, Apache Zeppelin itself doesn't provide these capabilities. What it does, though, it's like authorization and authentication that's been contributed in last year because you need it if you want to have thing like that. You will need to have some kind of access control, who goes where and who can do what, and, you know, like login stuff. But we definitely want to build something like that, and we hope community could chime in and help with that one. But right now, it's just two or three experiments that out there I can show you can use, but nothing built in Zeppelin yet.
Since you mentioned this authorization authentication, this is exactly where, again, enterprise needs these features.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you been working on anything like certificates, LDAP, all this blah, blah, the
Absolutely.
Enterprise stuff?
Absolutely, we are. And I think one of the guys, Anthony, he's not here. Is he? Over there. Say hi. So that's the guy working on mostly focusing on exactly this stuff, like LDAP and other schemes of authentication. And there's definitely progress on that. And that's open source part, but I also work for the company, which builds products, and one of them actually uses that open source part. We've got customers using that in enterprise, so more things coming because it's not unique to us. There are other companies using the same Zeppelin the same way. So, yeah, but if you want details, I think Anthony is a good person to ask. I saw a few things cooking, but I don't remember which ones. So, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will chat with you guys offline. Thanks.
Sure, please do. Any more questions? Gentleman over there.
Mm-hmm. So most of the data science community that I know of in the machine learning community use Jupyter, and
True.
They're very happy with it. They like the way the project's going. And Zeppelin kind of looks interesting, but it's less mature yet. And so I guess what I'm trying to understand is why would I invest, you know, my team's time and all of the overheads of introducing a new tool set? There's a couple of things, like Zeppelin supports multiple languages within one notebook, but can you sort of sell me Zeppelin over Jupyter in a really convincing way, or are we yet to see that kind of the maturity where we can really do that?
Well, if you want me to sell you something, we should set up a call, and I can try. But I know what you mean. That's a very good question. That's something we get every time, and I think that's a fair question, and I think there was no such goal to replace Jupyter with Zeppelin in a way that this market of interactive analytics things and interactive things is growing and big enough for different vendors trying different approaches. An approach of Jupyter was always targeting students and publishing, right? So that's what they want to be. They want to be like, okay, notebook is equivalent or attached to a paper. That's scientific world, that's how it works, all this publishing, and that's their goal. Our goal, when we started, it was different, and we got tons of discussion. Hey, well, we want to build this, and like, shall we just take Jupyter and, you know, contribute or customize or whatnot? But eventually we settled on a different approach, like, hey, let's try to provide something that is well integrated, like with many things, so people from different backgrounds can try and experiment. Let's make it play together so barrier for the newcomer, entrance barrier, is lower. So to set up a Jupyter with things like, I don't know, Mahout and Spark, well, it will take you some time. Of course, if you did that before, it's pretty easy. It's just one configuration file. If you know which file, if you know where to put it, if you know the right keys to put in the command line. So we try a different approach. We try to make it GUI-based, and we started later. So, of course, there's like, I know, 3 years head start between projects if you want to look at them competing. So I just say it's different, and one of the things that using different languages in single paragraph and single notebook is something that we have tons of positive feedback on. So people just love it and use it and contribute it. Well, it's not, I mean, ourselves internally, we never use it that way. It's just people start doing it and they really like it. So that's definitely one of the features. And then, of course, if you try to build business based on open source projects, like there are different licenses, there are different communities, so there's all these different kind of non-technical things there. So I would say those are the biggest differences, but yeah, I think we shouldn't be looking at it like really competing one or another, but you know, one people use that because that's what they feel familiar with, like Jupyter is for hackers, basically. You know, the small tools like Unix Way come together, you can combine, convert, and pipe to each other. Well, Zeppelin more like, you know, kind of package things together so you can play with that. And of course, some people just hate it, and some people cannot use things like that, but some people really like it, and that's what they want. I'm not sure, again, if it answers your questions, but I try my best.
Thank you.
Any more questions? So one thing I wanted to mention is, again, this Hacking Zeppelin session. So this is the first year. We want to try something else. We, as a Zeppelin community, to engage with other communities here and other maybe first-time contributors or people who are just interested. So we used to do talks and just mix and mingle and, you know, maybe talk in the bar. But this year we thought, well, maybe we should set up a time every day. We're going to sit in a room where this hackathon goes on. And anybody who have questions, comments, wishes, willing to contribute something but don't know how, or just willing to play with this thing and don't want to, you know, do it on his own. Well, that's a time we want to set up. I think it's like from what time is it? 4 or 3? What time are we targeting? What? 10:30 to 12:30. Basically, every day, 10:30 to 12:30. Is it right? Right, but we also have time where just people sit and can come and then talk to, right? Okay, 2 to 4. Yeah, every day after lunch, basically. Every day after lunch, please find people from Zeppelin community in this hackathon area. And then there's going to be a small kind of intense session with a couple of talks, which is tomorrow 2 p.m., I think, right? Or 10 p.m.? Anyway, it's posted on the Etherpad of ApacheCon, so check it out. And please come if you're interested. There's going to be a few talks about, like, introductory talks, and then it could be, like, I don't know, pair programming or whatnot. Any more questions?
So we have 5 minutes if anyone has any question.
Oh, that's fine. We can always talk after, just catch people with Zeppelin t-shirts. Oh, actually, if you want Zeppelin t-shirt, you should go to that area as well. There's going to be plenty of swag and t-shirts. So hopefully there's going to be more people in Zeppelin t-shirts after. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.